Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Aftermess.
Let's go. Aftermess Podcast. What's going on? My name is JD.
And it's Sienna.
We have a nice little listening party going on here at the studio in case you are listening online. But if you're on YouTube right now, make sure you like, subscribe, follow. Today's a little different. Oh, you're standing up. Okay.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
Should we all stand up for
stand
it? Because we do
up.
Have a very special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, 250 million singles sold worldwide. You just already applauded.
Ready.
14 platinum singles. Y'all make some noise for Jason Derulo.
Hello, hello. Looking fly? Okay.
Looking slick. I was going to wear the same thing, bro. I know. Welcome to Phoenix, my guy. How
Appreciate
are you?
Appreciate that. What's up, y'all?
I think they need to make a little more noise for Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo is in the building, huh?
There we go.
All right. Well, welcome to Phoenix. I do have to say that you and I are going on 17 years of friendship strong.
Now,
I know he remembers. I'm going to show you a picture here. I worked at a station before this a long time ago, and this is the first time I had met. And we'll put it up here on the website or on the
This is insane,
I know.
Bro.
Okay.
Damn, I remember this day.
Really?
I remember this outfit too.
Okay. But, well, okay.
Here, let me take a look at this.
Yeah, take a look. So this was when I was an intern at the previous radio station. And it was really interesting because you were the first person that I ever remember hearing saying, "Where am I? Like, what city am I in?" I believe you asked the record rep at the time what city I'm in. So number one, do you know what city you're in?
Toronto, no?
Toronto, yes. Yes. No, but explain to me kind of what you were going through mentally during that time period as you were promoting What You Say, which was the big record at the time.
So I was going to every single radio station back in that time. That was the norm, you know, when you're just starting out, you bring your song to every radio station and you're like, you know, can you play my song? Da 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 da. And you're meeting the programmers face to face. And that was like the thing. And I did it way more than everybody else. Mm-hmm. I went to every single station known to man.
Right.
So at that time, you know, we were in cars, trains, planes, and automobiles. And every single day, I've maybe been to like four stations a day. Like it was really, really hardcore. So that time mentally, I was really just trying to get by. You know, me going from being in the studio every single day to me now being on the road and speaking every day was an entirely different world for me. But what was great about it was that I was able to meet a lot of incredible people in radio. And I made lasting friendships because, you know, I got to meet a lot of great people and I kept in contact. And that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah, no doubt. And talk to me about how important radio is, because someone of your stature, you know, you have a lot of hit records. You've done a lot. You've traveled the world. Why is radio still important to you? Because I have seen you visited stations all across the country. What is specific going on right now that you don't want to tap back into that hard promo run?
Well, this is not something that people do anymore. It is very, it's kind of unheard of in 2026. And I think part of it is because of the pandemic, right? Like a lot has changed since the pandemic, and where, you know, everybody used to go to a specific job or go, like, you know, go to work. A lot of companies have shifted, and it's like, you know, there's a lot of things you can do remotely. Like you can do a lot of things on FaceTime and Zoom and all of these things. And I think the music industry was really, really impacted by that, right? Like it used to be where, you know, artists would come in to the radio stations and do the interviews, but now people just calling in And if somebody has a new song, they might just send an email. Hey, so-and-so got a new song. You know what I'm saying? And I guess I'm really old school in a way that I feel like, you know, I need to look the people in the eye that are playing my song and say, thank you. And this is my brand new song. I hope that you play it. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's the old school kind of nature that I have.
I do want to ask him about What You Say, because that's one of like Sienna's favorite records from you.
Big vibe.
When you were going around on these runs and stuff like that, and you know, because it's tough, you know, you're selling the single, you're selling yourself as a new artist. Did you think What You Say was going to be your record, like the big, big record as you were touring the country and stuff?
I didn't know, man. I knew that it was going to be my first opportunity on a big label. I was going to utilize it and milk it for what it was. You know, even if it was not a big hit, I felt like it was going to be part of my journey. There was never a time where I felt like I was not going to do it. Like, I always knew that I would do it in my heart, and I didn't know what would be the moment or the song or what was going to happen. But I knew that if I just continued on this same trajectory, that I would have somebody hear my music.
Yeah, yeah, kind of to backtrack, I know you're talking about the pandemic and things like that. Did you expect TikTok to pop off with your music? I mean, you had a huge trending song, Savage Love, massive song. You had the TikTok dance to go along with it.
Yeah.
What was your mindset, or what were you thinking when you were like, oh crap, this is blowing up on this app?
Yeah, did TikTok, were you one of those people that was like, I'm not doing that shit? Because I think I felt that way about Twitter when it first started.
Yeah.
You know, even TikTok for a brief second, you know, and then obviously the pandemic, but yeah, go ahead.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so I think I was the antithesis of that. I think I was first on TikTok. I started when it was Musical.ly, and then I saw my nieces and nephews like on this app, and I was like, why do y'all like this? It's just lip syncing. Like, why do y'all like this lip sync app? And then when TikTok came about, they did lip syncing, and then they added the dance aspect to it. So it was TikTok. It was lip syncing and dancing. And I was like, well, my nieces and nephews like it, and they're obsessed with it, and they're on it all day. This must be next.
Right.
So when the pandemic hit, I was like, I'm going to figure out social media. And TikTok was the app that I chose to figure out first. And I told myself that I was going to post 6 times a day. And learn what made people tick. Like, what? Why do y'all like this and hate this? Why did you swipe on this one, but you kind of stayed a little bit for this one? And through that experimentation, I was able to kind of figure out what made people tick. And I was getting 1 billion views like every 3 days. So like I became like the the TikTok guy. And it was not planned. It was not like I was, you know, in my room, like, I'm going to become great at social media. I just wanted to kind of connect the dots, because I have so many songs that people couldn't connect my face to the music, you know. And I felt like if I figured out social media, then people would be able to connect the dots. But then it just exploded.
Yeah, it was kind of like your side venture, kind of like all of us. We were just scrolling. Sure. And JD actually put me on to when you were gaining a lot of followers from your TikTok dances and everything, yeah, that you would make cakes for 32 million, 40 million.
Yeah.
So are you still doing that? Did you kind of fall off of it, or are you going to change it up?
When you get to a certain level, you know, you stop doing that shit, right?
I know. He's like, I don't need to make cakes.
This guy's changed.
He said, order them.
No, it's not, because I got to a certain level. It's honestly time. Uh-huh. Time. I had so much more time during the pandemic. And the reason why I started doing that is because I did one of those cooking videos as a joke one day, and it exploded. So I was like, every 1 million followers, I'm going to do one of these cooking videos. So thank y'all very much. And then I started getting 1 million followers like every 2 days. And it was like, this is exhausting. So it was, it, you know, it was again, like something that I didn't plan at all. Mm-hmm. And when I said I was going to do it every time I reached 1 million followers, I thought maybe like once every couple months or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're not just, you know, doing a bunch of stuff on TikTok. My brain goes in so many directions. I think of what kind of content is on Jason Derulo's For You page? Because, you know, you make a lot of content. Yeah. But what are like some of the quirky things? Because you're just a normal human just like the rest of us. Like, do you like deep cleaning videos? Like, what's the kind of shit that you're into, you know, that someone would be like, maybe you're embarrassed to tell people about?
You know what? You know what's crazy? Like on this radio run, I've heard about so many different trends and For You pages that I'm like, I'm shocked. Like somebody told me that they have feet that come up on their page. I'm like, bruh, like what? What For You page is this? But mine is real basic. I get a lot of finance things. I get a lot of motivational speaking. I'm a crypto guy, so I get a lot of crypto videos. So my videos aren't really strange and weird. I don't know.
Interesting. So on like the inspirational aspect, like what is it that you are wanting to hear that like keeps you, you know, keep the grind going? Is it stuff that reassures you that you're on the right path? Is it, what is it about that?
I'm always trying to be re-inspired. I'm always trying to get back on the wagon, so to speak. So like every single day is like a battle to me and I'm trying to win every day. So I feel like the right words that somebody says, I can take those words that day and become a better version of me. So I'm constantly looking for inspiration no matter where it comes from.
I mean, you have inspo in your career as well as your family life. I was doing some stalking on your Instagram and your son just turned 5, right?
Congratulations.
So congrats. Thank you. He's adorable.
Thank you so much.
And I noticed that you had a very poppin' 5th birthday party. He had a matcha bar.
Yeah.
Your 5-year-old's drinking matcha? Because I wish I would have got the invite to that party.
Who was that really for?
Yeah, who was that really for?
Was that for the adults?
That was the one adult thing that had matcha and coffee. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but there's clubs and stuff that's popping that's doing the matcha and the coffee as opposed to alcohol. Have you guys seen
that? Yeah, no, we do a coffee event called 10:15 a.m. and we do it from a coffee house and we do like techno music and stuff like that.
I love that. See, that's brand spanking. So yeah, I thought it would be cool to you know, take a page out of your book and, you know, have some coffee.
Yeah.
We had tequila too, though.
I was going to say, parents.
Let's be real.
Yeah, you have to. You know what? What kind of parent is Jason Derulo? You know, are you the good cop, the bad cop? Who is Jason Derulo in the household?
You know, I feel like I'm mostly the good cop, but I, you know, I have to step in sometimes. And sometimes, like, he needs, like a real voice to come in and, you know, like, kind of like the voice of God. Like, he needs to snap out of it, you know? So I remember how my dad used to make me snap out of it. So, you know, pulling a page out of my daddy book, you know what I'm saying? Jason, get you.
Sometimes it's just a look too.
Yeah.
Like,
and you don't even gotta finish the sentence. You be like, Jason, get you. You know, right. What I'm about to say.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, sometimes I have to play that hat. But most of the time I feel like I'm a good cop. I have certain things that I want him to do. He has his interests, so he loves to swim. He's an incredible swimmer at 5.
She don't know how to swim, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, I can't relate to this one.
So can you please encourage her? Be a father to Sienna right now. Can you tell her how important it is?
Do a lot of people have a pool here? Is that
yes,
a thing?
Every house and apartment complex has a pool.
That's
here,
what
bro.
I thought. Yeah, it's like Miami. It's everybody kind of has a pool. Even if you don't got a pool, like us, when I was growing up, we had like a makeshift pool. We like made pools out of different things. So you got to learn.
They're
how
everywhere,
to swim.
My guy. They're at Walmart. They're slip and slide.
Exactly.
Dude.
Yeah, I was in the lake last weekend and I still don't know how to swim.
With a life jacket.
But
please,
you can doggy paddle
right
though, right?
Once I doggy paddle and get tired, I'm cooked. I'm going under. So I need to learn like the professional one, the side one. Yeah.
For sure. For the longest time, I only knew how to backstroke. So it's like, so I could only do these. And I was like, like, Jason, yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah, I don't even have that one down. So I need to get on it.
For sure. For
you
sure.
Got to father her, man. You got to tell her how important it is to learn how to swim.
Yeah, when you got a pool, you don't want to just slip and fall and end up in a pool and you can't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm 5'6". So if the pool's like 5 feet, I could like just stand up. But other than that,
it's just not good enough. And you know it.
Yeah.
I know I keep making excuses. I'm sorry.
Not living here. Yes. Oh my God. No excuse living here.
I know. That's so true. But I didn't have a pool growing up. So I guess that's kind of whatever. But
what is the most important lesson you want your son to know?
There's a couple of things. So as a man, there's certain things that I want him to be able to do. So before he goes to bed every night, I have him do 20 push-ups.
Five.
Just instilling in him the importance of working out and consistency and doing mm-hmm. something every single day. And then learning to play basketball is not an option. I want him to learn to play basketball no matter if he likes it or not. And
why specifically
so you
are basketball?
Forcing him to play basketball?
Because if you think about it, right, like basketball is the only sport where you can go get a pickup game. You know what I'm saying? So if you go into the gym, like you can't like say like, I'm going to go play tennis today. You need somebody to go play tennis with you, right? Basketball is a singular sport. Like you can go to the court and there's just people playing. Everywhere except here. I was looking for a basketball court here.
My G, it's 106 degrees yeah. outside. What do you want us to do?
People are going to get a heat stroke out here. Ain't no way.
We're trying to learn to swim first and then we can go yeah. outside.
We have a long list to go here in
Phoenix. We was calling up gyms and they were like, yeah, we're changing our basketball court to what was it? Pickleball.
Oh yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Y'all changing the course to pickleball?
In the summertime, yeah. Talk we to gotta convert guy. Those at nighttime. Yeah, you can blame the Caucasian community for that.
you can
blame us. No, you gotta find like a Lifetime or something like that. Someone in Scottsdale will let
right.
you run.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You giving people buckets like that? You
yeah,
go from
for
town
sure,
to town
for
looking
sure,
for that?
For sure. Yeah, town to town.
Oh, okay.
You can find me at the local 24-hour fitness.
That's so hilarious.
I'm getting 40.
That's so funny. I mean, does someone in your crew, like, you got to go someone with you when you go around? Like, are you just trying to pull up solo?
No, I go with a couple of people. Yeah.
That is crazy. What position would you play? Are you trying to?
When I was in high school, I played a point guard for state championships.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bragging or anything.
No, you have to, man. It's the olden times, my guy. The olden times. That's amazing. So you're trying to make sure the kiddo knows how to get a bucket.
Yeah.
You'll be
yeah.
mad when he whoops your ass one day, my guy.
That's going to be a very, very, very long day for him when he thinks that he can do that.
Are you going to swat him whenever he tries to shoot?
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of dad are you? You know, are you going to swat him? Are you going to let him know, like, yo, you're just not going to get these buckets up easy?
Oh, nah. Even like when we racing and stuff, you know how the dads would be like, oh, you won. Nah, you did not win.
He's going to earn it. He's going to earn it.
You got to earn it. You got to earn it for sure. So I want him to feel it because I felt it growing up. So I want to give him some semblance of the childhood that I had.
Nice. I mean, just talking about your new single, I mean, what are you so excited about for this one? Because, I mean, it's a banger already.
Thank you. It's summertime, you know, mm-hmm. so that sun is out, especially here. Yeah, I want people to be able to feel like their most confident, sexy self. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make this song. And it feels like the backdrop of when you're getting ready for work or you're getting ready for a nice dinner date or something. Throw the song on and have, so you can feel like your most sexy, most confident self.
Interesting, because when I heard the remix with Kevin Gates and someone else, I'm not sure if everybody in the room has heard it. Give me your first reaction when you got the verse back, because
I clutched my pearls. Yes. Not gonna lie.
No, Shannon, tell them what you really said.
I said, "Oh my goodness."
Yep, that's Kevin. I was floored in the best way possible. I think music should do that. It should shock you and surprise you. It should make you feel something. And whether it's making you feel like you want to fall in love, whether it's making you feel like, you know, you're happy to be single, whether it's making you feel like you want to cry or dance, it should be all of those things. Right. So, when I heard Kevin's verse, I was like, this is incredible. And also it's real rap, right? Like in today's day and age, I feel like rap has become all melodic. Everything is melody. Right. So, it was refreshing to get like a real, like actual rap verse.
No, it was, it was very straightforward.
We got the message on it.
There was no, what do the kids say, Easter eggs? There was no, them shits were just broken.
He told you what he was going to do.
Wide open. Yeah, there were a couple of scenes. I went, oh my God. What was that?
I mean, everyone listened to it, but there's a little hawk to it in there. And I said, okay, all right.
She's married, man. She's acting like none of that happens in the whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I remember when I first got the 2 Chainz verse back for Talk Dirty. The first version was very tamed, and I was like, yo, Chainz, like, you know, give me some of the stuff that you're doing in the other joints that I like. And he was like, wait, you want me to say that? I was like, nah, but like, give me like some of that stuff. And then the first line was like, suck my penis.
Yeah, sold out arenas, you can suck my penis.
I was like, damn. All right, there it is.
You know, it's funny. I went to a private school out here, so it was very conservative. And I was on the cheer team, and Talk Dirty was one of like the mixes. And they had to tell us to change it because they were like, talk dirty to me. Right. And I'm like, that's not even that bad. But it's so funny you say that because, Yeah, it was one of those where it was like, oh, the shock factor, you know?
For sure.
You got so many records made. Is there one record that you look back on and say, I'm not sure if that record would be as big today, or a record that you look back on and say, that's interesting that I made that song at that time and that was a big record for me. Was there like a random record?
No, I honestly in my heart feel like those records would be big now too.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of them like are even on the comeback.
Yeah. I just feel like those songs, they don't really feel like a time really. And I think that was really intentional, right? It's like trying to create music that doesn't fall into a bracket of time, because I feel like a lot of people follow a specific trend, right? And there's music that feels like a time period, but the songs that I was doing, I don't necessarily place them in any time period. Like, it was not like there was a time where everybody was making Talk Dirties or Trumpets or you know, Other Side, yeah, maybe like that.
Yes.
That's, you know, very Dr. Luke, very Max Martin-esque, Katy Perry kind of vibe. But a lot of my songs kind of fit like.
Do you feel like you came up in the right era of music as far as how hard it is to get, you know, a record play or a record to pop, or, you know, because everything today is in such like snippets. You know, a lot of people aren't even listening to full records anymore. They know the hook. They know the hook because of the TikTok dance. Do you feel like you kind of came up in the right era of music?
Yes. And I also really loved the 2010s, the music that was in the 2010s. I feel like that music in general made you feel good. Whereas I feel like today, there's a lot of sad songs going on. And I like a good sad song for a while, but like, I'm not trying to live my life like that.
Straight up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I wish there was a more positive, upbeat kind of songs.
And that's what you're trying to bring back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my personality, I'm a very positive person in general, glass full kind of guy, you know? So, I mean, I want to be sad like everybody else sometimes, get in my feelings, but then I want to hop right back out that thing and be like, oh, we turn it up.
Yeah. Let's do a wheel of advice question. So we do this every After Mess podcast, and we have someone in the audience. We're going to ask you, I know she's really nervous right now.
She's
tell
nervous.
Her, you're going to have to father one of our listeners here. So, I'll bring the mic over to you, and then you can say your name and what your question is, okay?
All right.
Here we go.
Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Okay.
What's your name?
I'm Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Oh, hey. Okay. So I wrote it down. I'm going to look at my notes.
All right.
What steps did you take when you made that leap of faith that made you as successful as you are today?
What steps did I take?
Oh, because I recently took a leap of faith myself to start tattooing. So I'm like struggling a little bit in like money aspects because I have to learn, you know? So I just want to know like what kind of steps you took.
So I say this all the time. Really good question, by the way. I say this all the time. It's important for you to do what it is that you love to do. Because I have made a lot of money doing other things that I don't love, and I got nothing out of it, like absolutely nothing. Me being able to do my passion, whether I'm paid for it or I'm not paid for it, it's my favorite thing to do in the world. No matter whether somebody's gonna hear a song that I do or not, I still have the best time creating it. So for you, you know, if tattooing is what you love to do, enjoy the process. Enjoy the time of growth. Enjoy the time of pain. Because when I look back, those are my favorite times. When I can look back and be like, I remember when I'm just getting chills thinking about it. I remember when I had nothing and I made Rotten Solo in my mom's basement, or I made what you say when I had zero, I had nothing, you know? And those grind moments, you know, those late nights where nobody else is watching are going to be the times where you look back and be like, yo, that was a lot of fun.
You want to know what we're going to do? We're going to put some dramatic music under that. You just gave like the inspirational video, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's like a mic drop right there.
Now you just fed someone's algorithm of the inspirational stuff. That's a really great answer, by the way. And great question. No, that's a really good question. And
that's going to pop up on my For You page.
I know.
Oh, there you go. For real.
I think that's great insight though, because was it something that you were saying to yourself every day? Was there like a keep going, you know?
Like a mantra.
Mantra. Is it something your parents said to you? Is it something that you read somewhere that was the cornerstone of you continuing to push?
So I'm a true believer in manifestation. And I just watched the Michael movie, and I just now learned that he was somebody that believed in manifestation too. And that just like makes so much sense. But speaking life into your life and not death and not negative. I'm a true believer in that. And I will literally look myself in the mirror and I say, you are magic. You are great. And then within that, I will say, thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for allowing me to have the power of the tongue. You know, so I have now later in life added God to the manifestation as well. So it's not just me saying things aloud. It's also involving God and being thankful for him granting the power of the tongue.
So what you need to say is, one day I'm going to tattoo 100%. Jason Derulo. I'm going to give him his next tattoo.
100%. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's what you got to do. You got to manifest that.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for coming through. Y'all make some noise for Jason Derulo one time.
Thank y'all.
Of course, make sure you like, subscribe, and everything to the Aftermess podcast. Are you a competitive person?
To a fault.
I mean, you're making your kid play basketball. You're coming to
doing push-ups before he goes to bed.
We're going to do something, and we encourage your entourage to partake. We're going to have some people play with us. We're going to play Flip Cup. So have you ever played Flip Cup back in the day with, you know, college people, you know, anybody, a party? Are you familiar
with Flip
Cup? I'm
actually a gold medalist at Flip Cup.
That's not true. There's no way.
I travel the world and I do Flip Cup, three nights a week.
Okay.
Side right. hustle.
Yeah, he's willing to put some money on the line is what he said. So we're going to see what's in his wallet. If he has a Costco hard, we're going to take that too. And we're going to play Flip Cup with Jason Derulo. Y'all make some noise one more time for Jason Derulo.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Aftermess podcast. We'll see you next time.
The Aftermess.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.